This is the Flip Empire Show with Alex Pardo, episode 110.
Welcome to the Flip Empire Show, bringing you the interviews, strategies, and insights for smart real estate investors. Prepare to dive into the minds of real estate's heavy hitters and gain the cutting-edge expertise you need to scale and grow your real estate empire. Your success and freedom starts now with your host, Alex Pardo.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Alex Pardo here. Thank you so much for joining me with another masterclass here on the Flip Empire Show. And guys, I get the benefit of just connecting with some awesome people in this industry and some high-level thinkers, some thought leaders, some entrepreneurs. And so I always look forward to the masterclass episodes because, you know, the feedback I've been getting is that you guys are learning a lot. And you're getting a tremendous amount of value from this. And I hope you know that I'm alongside with you because I always pick up a few things from the experts that I interview here. And so this is a cool episode that I think is going to have a really big impact on not only your business, but really your life if you apply it. And there's I got Robert Seifert on today's masterclass. And as you'll soon find out here, we had never met or even spoken until this interview. And we have a ton of mutual friends in the industry, but there's a lot of parallels and a lot of commonalities between him and I. And so, you know, we exchanged a bunch of emails. I wanted to get him on because I think he's got a cool business model, but more importantly, just the mentality and the thought process he has. And so, Robert has been involved in this business for many years. He's got a turnkey real estate operation, and he also wholesales virtually. The guy has closed hundreds and hundreds of deals. As you'll soon find out in this particular episode, he, in about a 14-month period, he closed over 200 transactions by himself. Like, he didn't have a team. It was just him. He was a one-man show. Dude closed over 200 deals in a 14-month period, which is insane. And that actually is a perfect segue into what we're going to talk about and the three big takeaways that he got that, you know, he's been fortunate that he's a coach now and he coaches a lot of different people, different levels, beginners, intermediate, advanced investors that have closed hundreds of properties. And so not only do we talk about the three biggest takeaways that I think can have the biggest impact on your life and on your business, but also because he's been able to work with so many investors across the country, what's working, what's not working. And so we also get into what are some of the things that you need to be doing in this market to stand out from the crowd and to close more deals? And it was kind of a light bulb for me. One of the things that an idea I had never considered, something I never thought of, that I'm going to be implementing and putting into action right away in my business. I hope you'll do the same. So guys, I think you're going to enjoy this episode and let's just jump right into it. Mr. Robert Seifert, what's going on, my man? How's it going?
Great, Alex. How are you doing today?
I'm doing awesome, buddy. Doing awesome. I'm blessed in so many ways, man. And I'm glad, dude. I appreciate you you jumping on the show here with me, man. I know, ironically, this is actually the first time that we've spoken. But as you know, man, we have hundreds of mutual friends on Facebook. And I always see you just very active, very giving on there. You're obviously, you know, from afar, I've heard good things about you. And I know that, you know the business and you're doing big things. So, yeah, man, that's why I reached out to you. And, you know, anytime I see somebody that's doing well, and just kind of has that giving mentality, that giving heart, man, I always love to connect with those people and, you know, with the goal to deliver great content and value that can help the audience here, man. So really appreciate the time.
Yeah, no, I appreciate the invite and it's mutual. I haven't actually talked to you until today, but definitely seen you on Facebook a lot. I've heard some of your shows in the past and some of my friends that have been on it. So very happy to be a part of this and give as much as I possibly can.
Very cool, man. Well, yeah, we were actually just talking a few minutes ago, man. I think this is going to be a fun one because you have a very unique perspective, at least, you know, from my standpoint is not only have you been an active investor for many years and you have a successful business, you know, focusing on turnkey rentals and you do wholesaling. Now you're primarily, you were telling me you're doing it virtually. So there's a lot that we can cover in there, but I also think, you know, as a coach, you know, I know that you were telling me you run the boardrooms for real estate worldwide, I think it's called. And and so I think the reason you have a unique perspective is that you've successfully coached and helped other investors in different levels, not only the people starting out, but also the intermediate and advanced investors. And so I guess one of the things, just so you know, anyone listening on, we're going to focus on is some of the challenges that Robert is seeing a lot of investors go through in today's market. And then more importantly, how do you overcome those challenges? How can you avoid some of those things happening to you and your business? Robert, I'm sure you agree, man. So many people, especially on social media these days, are always posting like the wins, which is fantastic. I think that's great. Mm-hmm. But nobody really talks about the challenges. And I mean, let's be honest, man. I mean, we're growing businesses, we're running businesses. There's always going to be challenges. I think it's how you learn from those things and then push forward, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think it's easy to share wins, right? That's the happy days, the positive yeah. stuff, and everyone likes to see it. But the challenges are the part that everyone gets hit with, and no one gives an answer on how to get through that and overcome it. At least in my experience, most people don't talk about that.
Yep.
So yeah, I agree. That's probably the biggest part. And then there's different challenges at different stages. So everyone sees the guy saying, hey, I got a team and I'm rocking it and closing all these deals every month. Hey, that's great. But you think that that's the end goal, and it's not, because that person has so many other challenges that they've now opened up in running that size business and the things that come along with that.
Yep. And I've been there, man. I can speak to that firsthand. Is, you know, you think that when you just because you hire people and you get things off your plate, that it's kind of smooth sailing. But now you have management challenges and a whole nother set of issues that come with that. So man, I mean, I think that's kind of the fun part to me, man, of being an entrepreneur is just you should be evolving, right? And you should be learning and growing from all these different experiences and from all the different challenges. But yeah, man, I guess before we kind of get into the nitty gritty, if you can, for people that haven't heard about you or know who you are, if you can just kind of give us a 30,000 foot view as to, you know, how you got started in this business and then what your business looks like today.
Yeah, absolutely. So quick, short overview. I've been interested in real estate my whole life since watching a Russ Whitney commercial back when I was about 18 years old. Didn't go down that path because I did what a lot of people in middle income families do, which is go get good grades, go get a good job. And, you know, that's how you succeed in life. So, but it had that itch my whole life. Eventually started going to Rich Dad, Poor Dad seminars and reading every book there was possible. Probably spent over a decade, well over a decade doing all of that and just always having interest while being actively involved in sales and insurance and estate planning and those types of things.
Okay.
Kind of knew rental properties was really where it was at. That really got more of an itch as I got deeper into the investment and estate planning world. And just seeing that, hey, you know, these are all great investment tools that people are recommending, but why not real estate? You know, so eventually, I think it was about 4 years ago now, three and a half, four years ago, somewhere around there, I just decided to jump off a cliff and go 100% into real estate, stop thinking about it and just take action every day.
Love
right?
it. Love it.
And, in that, you know, this is going to be easy. My life's going to change. Real estate's big money and there's no time involved and I'll work less turned into 20 hour days up at 6 a.m., 2 a.m., you know, doing calls and shooting emails and, closed a couple deals in the beginning, all wholesaling and then really reverse wholesaling, but didn't know anything about Kent Clothier and them at the time. Became my niche. My niche became wholesaling rental properties. I quickly evolved that into getting as a one-man operation, doing 20 plus deals a month after about 6 months grinding into it. Yeah, I went through a 14-month stretch. We just looked at the numbers. I did over 210 deals in 14 months by myself.
Wow.
Actively reverse wholesaling all of it. Also managed a management company and brought in a partnership. We got up to 450 houses under management and then really just hit a wall. And one of the biggest challenges I hit there, and that sounds all great, it was high volume, low profits, right?
Yeah,
so lots of volume, very skinny margins on the deal. But I mean, hey, it was great. From where I was at to where I got was amazing, but I had no time. I couldn't go on vacation without working, right? So I was always working. So actually I sought out a great mentor myself at that point, who was Kent, because I saw Memphis invest in their companies and said, you know what, that's kind of what I want to do. And that's what I'm doing, but I'm not doing it that way. So I actually got to talking with him. And in that, we got me very refocused on why I actually got in the business, what I wanted it to do for me, and got very crystal clear on what I wanted out of life. From that, I actually moved across the country to Tampa from Michigan, just to live in an environment I wanted to live in. And I chose to set up my entire business model strictly on turnkey. We only sell what we buy, rehab, and place quality tenants in. Opened up a brand new management company, which we won't go down that path, but let's just say bad partnership. We didn't agree much and left the old one and started a brand new one with a different vision. Started the brand that I have now a couple years ago. And just started doing things all the right way. So we, again, started all over from scratch. I took about 3 months off doing nothing when I was getting refocused. In that, we got back to doing, you know, a couple houses a month, strictly turnkey. So there, we were fully renovating and all that. Probably about a year into that, we grew to doing 5 to 10 deals a month, turnkey, on the average month. I'd say we're typically around 5. And doing that all virtually from Florida, and all the properties were being sold in Michigan. Late last quarter, I started to, well, last year and the year before, I started going through the challenges of scaling, hiring people and having to jump back in and do it all myself because I didn't like the way things were going. So that's some of the challenges we're talking about, right? And then finally getting out of my own way and starting to be able to scale late last year, and also start bringing wholesaling as part of our envelope backing, because we had a lot of people that, you know, didn't want turnkey prices, but they wanted investments. So we started providing wholesale properties, fitting the same model. Still hitting about 5 to 10, but now we're in the process. All of last quarter and beginning of this year, we've spent basically hiring people and bringing on all the right staff so that we can start to scale, tweaking out all our operations, writing out all those rules and systems for people to follow so you don't have to actively be there and make those decisions.
Yeah.
So I've been going through that intently. At the same time, you know, so I own a management company in Michigan. I own a turnkey business that operates in multiple states now. Michigan, virtually, we just expanded into 3 other states, North Carolina, Ohio, Indiana, Texas, and we're waiting on a license to property management in Tampa as well.
Wow, man.
We wholesale in Michigan and Tampa, and probably we'll be expanding that as our operations get tweaked and we start scaling the hiring side. And then over the last year, we've also become a software company. We're about to launch our own CRM based off of everything we've learned and built, and really just a process of not liking anything that was out there. So that's the newest development that's coming out to try and simplify people's lives. And you know, granted, it's from being around great mentors. It's from being in great masterminds that I've joined that have helped me, you know, have a bigger vision of what's out there and surrounding myself with people that are doing bigger things than me.
You know what, man? I want to kind of stop you for a second, because that's like the second or third time that you've mentioned the word vision. And I think that's so important to not only achieving success in business and life, but just to kind of to really be able to make a difference and have an impact in people's lives and to kind of live the lifestyle that you desire. I'm a big vision guy. I'm actually, I'm in the process of reading Dean Graziosi's book, Millionaire Success Habits. And if you've read that book,
great book.
Yeah. I mean, I'm kind of halfway through, but the first couple of chapters talks about the vision, is about getting clarity, the why and where you're going, and the fact that, you know, most people just have no idea. You know, it's funny, he talks about in that book, and it really kind of struck a chord with me, and maybe it's the reason. I'm curious your perspective, because I know you coach a lot of people, but I was thinking to myself, you know, maybe this is the reason that people will pay for coaches, they'll do this and they'll go to seminars, but they won't take action. Is he was talking about the fact that, you know, a lot of people, if you ask them what they don't want, they have like a laundry list, right? They have like a shit ton of things that they don't want. But if you ask them what they do want, they kind of scratch their heads. And like Dean was saying in the book, that he's asked hundreds of students, what don't you want? And everybody can spit out a bunch of things. But then he asks, what do you want? And very few people are able to give like a clear, direct, concise answer. So having said all that, man, what's kind of your how do you look at vision? Because I know that that's a word you've said a couple times. And I think it's, in my opinion, it's critical as really the foundation and the starting point to anything. Like, whether you're launching a business or whether you want to get involved in a relationship or whatever it is, my opinion is the vision kind of has to be the springboard for everything else.
Oh, dude, I 100% agree. And that is really like when I say Kent helped me get refocused, I went to him with a whole bunch of business problems, what I didn't want, right? And what I wanted all these things to go away and change. And what we worked on for the first month was nothing but why. Let's get so dialed deep into why you want this. That's and awesome. What does your what does the end look like?
Yeah.
He's synonymous for always saying, let's start with the end in mind and then we'll reverse engineer from there. But it all begins with, you know, what is that end and why do you want it? Like, if you don't have that burning desire for that why, you're never going to get there. And that's why it's so important. And I agree with Dean. He actually just spoke at one of our masterminds in December. And the biggest takeaway I had from him is he hit us with a thing that he learned from a good friend of his, Joe Polish,
yeah,
on seven layers deep.
Yeah, I love that, man. Absolutely. Why don't you talk about? Huge. I don't want to steal your thunder. You brought it up, man. So why don't you, like, what exactly is the seven layers deep? Where I'm in the process of going through that exercise again, and it's mind blowing, bro.
Yeah, oh, it is powerful. I'm actually going to do it again myself, ironically. I think it's one of those things, and you just hit it, you're going through it again, right? And so many people pass not even doing it. And then more importantly, this is something that will change as time goes on. But seven layers deep, why? And whenever you find yourself lost in what you're doing or not, stop and just go ask why. That's really what, I've done that a couple times in my business career, and it's changed and opened so many doors from doing it. But seven layers deep is... at its core, it's really just saying, all right, why do I want to do real estate, right? Start with somewhere, what it is. And then whatever that answer is, and this works best if you have a partner to do it with, which is why I'm going to do it again, because I've done it by myself and I need someone to do it with me. The second one is, as soon as whatever that answer is, the number two is, why is that the answer? Number three is, why was that answer the answer?
Yeah.
And eventually, you know, as Dean and Joe will say, I think it's the first three, maybe four, come pretty easy. That you can just rattle them off because they're just BS answers, I would say, that are just in your head that you think are the
right
answers.
Pre-programmed. Yeah.
Yeah, pre-programmed. There you go. And they're just coming out of your mouth. By the time you hit that fifth, six, and especially seven are extremely difficult. You feel like, oh, I already came up with the why.
Yeah.
No, because when you get to those last couple, that's when you're actually digging deep and you're finally pulling out of you what your real why is. And it's not that surface answer. It never is. There's always a lot more to it. I love it.
Yeah.
And I think it's hugely important. And from coaching people, I will tell you, the biggest thing that I see people that are getting new is they wash over that, they hear that, even in some of real estate worldwide, they focus on that in the beginning. And I watch so many people pass over that exercise and say, well, why? Because I want to make money. I want to make my life different. And they leave it at that. They don't put the effort into it that really belongs there. Another great book, just to add to you, is Start With Why by Simon Sinek.
You know, I haven't read that one, man.
That's a great book, and he does a TED Talk on it too. And he talks about how centering this around why you do what you do, like, uses Apple as a great example, that they're not a tech company, or they're not this, they're not that. It's why they challenge the status quo. That's the why of Apple, and yeah, why Apple's so big.
Yep. Yep. And yeah, guys, so definitely check out that book. I'm gonna pick it up on Amazon today. But if you're in the process, definitely get Dean's book, Millionaire Success Habits. And I'm actually looking at the page now. When he went through the exercise, Robert, I don't know if you recall when you read it, but I think it was like the fourth or the fifth one, he started like crying. But yes, the guy that was doing it for him, like, kept probing until they got, and he was like, for whatever reason, he talks about in the book that the seventh layer, the seventh level, that's like the money spot. For whatever reason, yep, it's not six, it's not eight, it's not any other number, it's the seventh one. So if you get nothing else from this podcast interview with Robert here, like, pick up the book, and if not, just Google it. I think it's called The Seven Levels Deep Exercise. Check it out, and if you just do that one thing, it could have a dramatic impact on not only your business, but your life. So...
absolutely. Yeah. That's the biggest takeaway.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. I'm glad that you said that. So, man, just to kind of take a few steps back, I'm still kind of like baffled. You did 200 deals in a 14-month period by yourself?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. Yeah. You know that, right?
I know. Looking backwards, that was literally up at 6 a.m., going to bed at 2 a.m., and, you know, a lot of it was just massive sales all in one day. I think the best month was 32 deals.
Wow.
And I taught myself how to do spreadsheets and just make it happen, go inspect the houses. And yeah, it was crazy. I mean, when I say by myself, there were definitely some, got to the point of leveraging like JV deals and getting other.
Yeah, but you didn't have a team.
but still, I didn't have a team. It was
right.
me getting that, me building the relationships, me talking to either the wholesalers or the sellers.
Yeah.
And me negotiating the deal and closing it all and reviewing all the documents and yeah, doing it all.
Maybe that's kind
didn't
of
want to let it go.
I mean, it's impressive, but at the same time, it's kind of crazy. You're a madman, but
yeah.
I mean, maybe that's kind of a perfect tie into what we were just talking about, like getting clarity in the vision. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I'm assuming that when you were going through that period where you were closing all those deals by yourself, I'm guessing you didn't really have a vision in place because you couldn't have had much of a lifestyle, right?
No, the vision was make money. Right. Yeah. Close as many deals as possible and just make money.
Right.
And my lifestyle was sure. We traveled. We traveled to a couple places, but it wasn't a lifestyle because my travel was me on the computer and me on the phone. And that was actually the tail end of that was an epiphany. We went to Fort Lauderdale. Mm-hmm. And literally it was supposed to be our vacation, chilling on the beach in February, -30 back home in Michigan. And my wife just said, this isn't even a vacation. This is a waste of our time because you're not actually here. And then that April, we already had a trip planned to go to Punta Cana. So we went overseas and we lost service. Like we didn't have international setup. So I literally had no internet and no phone. And that was the eye-opening epiphany right there to say, oh my God, this is what life's about. And yeah. Literally the very next month is when I started seeking out Kent, and May of that year was the end. I stopped. I did 14 houses that month and quit.
Wow.
And literally awesome. just shut down everything and said, I need to figure life out because there's way more to life and I need to do more Punta Cana trips and not on my phone and laptop and actually enjoy life and not just work all the time.
That's amazing, man. And there's so many different directions I'd love to go in here with you, but I guess the one that I'll choose that I think can really resonate with people the most, at least with me as I'm listening to you talking, is the fact that, you know, more isn't always better. You know, and I've been guilty of this in the past, Robert, where we all, you know, a lot of the people, the gurus, thought leaders, educators, whatever, you know, people that have been in the business for a while that are teaching others or that, you know, have courses, podcasts, put on events. We all talk about scaling and growing. And I think that's great. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong, but bigger and more isn't always better. And so you just talked about how you went from doing 14 deals to then you kind of like you scaled down. And I actually, after I met with Mark Evans, you know, several months ago, I kind of came to that realization that I was so focused on building this team that I kind of took my eye off the ball and results weren't necessarily matching the size of the team that I have. And then sometimes you really have to, instead of scaling up, depending on where you are in your business, I really think sometimes you need to scale down, get clear, yeah. get focused. And then from there, you can kind of pick back up and figure out what direction you want to go in.
I absolutely agree with that. I think that less is more most of the time. When I told you I've taken a couple pauses, there were literally a couple months at a time where we just paused. And it was for that exact reason to figure out. A good friend of mine, Jason Medley, he's coined with saying, you know what, everybody can grow. And we're all good for putting our foot on the gas pedal and just grow. But there comes a point in every business, no matter how you're trying to grow, you gotta tap the brakes, right? You gotta pump them, and you gotta look back and say, all right, I'm scaling too fast. I'm scaling too big. Operationally, we can't handle that. Yeah. We need to slow down. We need to get very clear on what we're trying to accomplish. We can't be we're going through this right now. We're trying to get very clear on what are we going to wholesale and what are we not, so that we're not just trying to wholesale everything, right? We don't want to be the everything for everybody. We want to be very focused on what we do well, what's our unique ability, and let's dive into that with everything we have. And it doesn't matter if that's 10 deals a month or 50 deals a month. It just matters that we're focused on that one thing and that one priority, and we can take care of that client and build relationships there.
That's right. That's right. And I think the other thing to consider is that, you know, with more volume, especially if you don't have the infrastructure, the systems, the team, sometimes with more volume, it's more headaches. I actually saw this on the Wholesaling Houses full-time Facebook group. I think it was Alex that posted something, you know, would you rather do one $20,000 deal or four deals where you make $5,000 each? You know, and it's like, I don't know about you. I guess there's no right or wrong. It just depends on what you want and what kind of business you want. But for me, like, dude, give me one deal where I'm one or two deals where we're closing, you know, where they're big pops versus having to do 5, 10, 15, 20 deals a month, you know? So,
absolutely.
Yeah.
I agree with you. I think And that goes with being simpler, right? I've seen that post. I loved it when he posted it. I actually agree, right? He's talking about everyone focuses on, it made me rethink some of the numbers we're looking at. Like, we're focused on this, how many deals we have to do. No, we actually, there's a number we want to hit. So I'm actually fine if we do one deal and hit that number and don't do 10 deals. It's much easier.
Man, we need to talk more about that, because, and that's something I've challenged my team with is, you know, a couple of years ago when I was building a team, the goal was always number of deals a month, until I talked to my coach and he was like, who gives a shit about the number of deals? Like, is it a pride thing to say that you do X number of deals? Like, at the end of the day, aren't you in this business to help others and have an impact? But it's about the bottom line, right? It's about revenue. So what does it matter if you accomplish that revenue number in one or two deals versus 10 deals? You know what I mean?
100% agree. I was doing the same thing. A benchmark when we started hiring people, like, look, here's your number of deals you have to do to meet that objective. And the reality is, as you know, right? Yeah, I'm shooting for that number because I'm in my head thinking that number will represent so much profit. In the reality, I should have just had them focused on profit. And who cares? I don't care if you do that in one deal or 10 deals, as long as you hit that profit.
Exactly. So let me actually kind of pivot to this, man, because I know you've been able to work with a lot of different investors and, you know, from different levels, obviously. But what's kind of, if you had to boil it down to maybe one, two, maybe three things max that you think kind of keep people, like, it holds them back. And this doesn't have to be just somebody that's never done a deal, that's having a challenge getting their first deal. But even the investor that is doing two, three, four deals a month, but they want to grow bigger, right? Whether that's volume or whether it's revenue. What are some of the common things that you're seeing investors that, you know, that's holding them back? And then the follow-up to that is, what's the solution? Like, how do you recommend they kind of, they get past that point?
Yeah. So the number one most common thing that I see across the board, whether it's brand new or different levels, and I've experienced it myself, is overthinking. And as a result of overthinking, a lack of decision making, right? Like, you overthink every step, gotta reach out and learn everything out there before you make a decision. And that's not what the most successful guys do, right? The highest, most level success, they just make decisions and they go, right? So that's the solution to that one, is make a decision with the information you have at hand and run with that and focus on it, right? The next thing kind of tail ends off of what I just finished that one with, which is lack of focus. Mm. Everyone wants to be, you know, I catch myself doing this all the time. Everyone wants to do everything. Oh, that deal can make money. Let's learn how to do that. Oh, let's learn how to do lease options and add those in. Let's learn how to do wraps because there's money in that. We don't want to lose a deal. Let's learn how to do this because we want to be the everything that can make money and don't miss out on any opportunity, right? And I'm a culprit of that myself. We have these discussions on my team and I keep getting put back in my own place with my own words, which is you've got to, and the solution to it is you've got to pick a focus, and you've got to, I didn't read this book yet, but it's actually on my plate to read next, The One Thing by Gary Keller,
fantastic. Yeah. It's a game changer.
It's focus. It's picking that one thing and focusing with everything you have on it. That's regardless of business, that I've catch myself in health too, right? It's, don't try to do everything that's out there, because everything works. You just have to choose the one thing to focus on and give it everything you got.
Totally. And another book along those lines. Oh, I'm sorry. What was that, man?
Yeah. The third is not knowing why you're in it, right? Losing, it's part of losing focus, but it's losing who you are in the process and coming back to that clarity of who you are. Again, it doesn't matter what level you're at. I find myself having to get clear about my why again and again in each level or stage that it continue to move into.
That's awesome, man. I really hope that, you know, I'm listening to you and there's so many parallels that I'm drawing kind of like in between my ears and just experiences I have. And I'm so with you, man. We're so on the same page. And I'm hoping that, you know, a lot of what we're kind of talking about here is hitting people between the eyes, because I think so many people, man, are focused on like the strategy, the technique, the latest and greatest way to market or do this. And so much of it, man, is I forgot who said this, but you know, 80% of it is psychology, right? And so much of it is just the focus, everything we're talking about, man. If I can kind of just bundle this up, man, and just kind of shove it in people's mouth and make them swallow it, it's like we'd have so many more successful people in this world, man.
Yes. That's 100% true. It's all psychology. We teach that on our sales team, and brought on a great guy to teach it even more, that like, even when we're talking to sellers, buyers too, it is not about the price 90% of the time, which is what everyone goes after. It's why.
Yeah.
It comes back to why again, right? Why do they want to sell? Let's key in on that and focus on it and help solve that problem. Because there's a problem as to why they pick up the phone and call us, right? There's a reason why they don't call a realtor and just list their property and wait. They have a burning why they need to get rid of it. And we're there to help and give them a solution if you can focus on what that is.
Yeah, no, definitely, man. So let me actually ask you this, man, and we'll kind of wrap up here in the next maybe 4 or 5 minutes. But hopefully we've kind of like we've beaten that down, that, you know, you need to get focused, you need to get clear, you know, you need to just make a decision and go. As far as what's working out there, you know, strategies, techniques, since I kind of alluded to a few minutes ago, since you've had the benefit of working with a lot of different people, you know, the market is different than it was 3-4 years ago. Everybody knows that. Direct mail, while still, you know, we still get a very positive ROI, it's, I don't know about you, we're having to spend a lot more money on direct mail. Response rates are you know, below what we're used to. What are you seeing is working? And then I'll follow up and give my answer. I don't want to kind of take it from you, but what are you seeing is working for the people that are actually putting forth the effort and doing the work? You know, like we talked about, man, everything works if they do, but as far as certain things to generate more leads, close more deals, what are you kind of seeing is the common thread with the people that are out there crushing it?
Yeah, so I will concur and agree with you. There's actually a big conversation about this right now, that response rates are starting to go down. Some markets are noticing a slowdown on their pay-per-click, and they're costing more now too. So I'm going to root that all back to another core problem everyone has, is no one stays consistent with what they do, and consistency will win out all the time, right? So a good friend of mine just said, we're at war. There's so many people in this market flooding, but the reality is most of them are just spend a couple grand here, spend a couple hundred here, and then they're out. So if you stay consistent, just like any war, you eventually win, because you're the only one still standing, because you're still consistently doing something.
Okay.
Now, couple extra strategies out there. Direct mail works. We're actually about to test a new thing, and I know there's another group out there that's testing this too, and it claims they have a 300% better response rate. And that in direct mail, it's adding a picture of the property on the front of the postcard or in the letter.
Cool.
We don't know the numbers to that ourselves yet, but we're about to test it because I think it will produce a bigger result. Just stands out. Then the pay-per-click side, I think the number one strategy that a lot of people miss out on is retargeting, right? And we're big on, most of our pay-per-click budget goes to retargeting, and all the people that I know that do that well get a lot of business from the retargeting, staying in front of that person that came to you before, rather than just going out there on a blanket search. And then the other big strategy that I've seen a lot in some of the masterminds, and we implement ourselves, and it's one of our best drivers, is either cold calling or voice dropping through like a slide broadcast style system.
You nailed
you're
it.
Getting a message in front of people and calling them. That's the big one right now.
Brother, we just got, when was this? What are we at? This was May 10th, I think, or May 11th. Earlier in May, a couple weeks ago, we closed a deal. We made $58K on it, $58,300. But that's not what's
nice.
That's not what's cool about it. What's cool about it is that it was cold calling through Mojo Sells. So it cost me $0 to get the list, because we just did the reverse lookup, and this is a person we never sent a piece of mail to. They the house was just sitting there vacant, and it was just right timing. And that's the beauty of cold calling is you're going to have to go through a ton of no's, which is fine, but it just takes one. And so, you know, it's crazy to me that, you know, we probably would have had to spend 5-10 grand in direct mail to maybe get that deal. And when you're able to get those self-generated deals that don't cost you a dollar, they just cost the time and the effort, man, your ROI just shoots through the roof.
Absolutely. And that's the big one right now. Bigger margin than those, because a lot of people aren't doing that.
Yeah.
So you're hitting those people that aren't getting the mail, or, you know, whatever. You're just, and again, it's what you said, right? It's timing. And that goes with the consistency. If you're consistently out there, then your message will be in front of the right person at the right time, and you'll capture them.
Bingo. Let me, before we wrap up here, man, because you kind of piqued my interest, I think it's a really, really, it's just kind of a genius idea, I think, to put the picture on the direct mail piece. You have any idea from like from a process standpoint, how they're going about, you know, let's say there's a list of, let's just, you know, say 1,000 records. Is there a service out there, or someone that's able to grab the picture of the front of that house and kind of do some sort of mail merge, or how does that process work?
Yeah, so I will give you a halfway answer because we're kind of working on something. Like I told you, we're building a CRM, and this is actually going to be a piece of it. So nice. I don't want to give everything, but I will say there is a company out there that Real Estate Worldwide Mailhouse uses, and I believe, don't quote me, but I'm, because I'm not the tech guy. I have great tech people that do all this, but I believe what is simplistically happening is grabbing a Google Street image of the property.
Okay, makes
sense.
Then
dropping it on the postcard from the list. Now, the catch is being able to get that all to merge together. So there is a mailhouse that does it.
Cool.
And I will say that's something that we're, we just built for ourselves, and we're actually beta testing it right now to fix the couple bugs on that merge and to figure out what's the accuracy rate of Google Street image, you know, to a list kind of thing.
Yep. Yeah, well, dude, man, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to put you on the spot, but I appreciate you sharing that. I think it's that you, that's the kind of stuff when I hear things like that, it's, you know, here's I guess the good thing for you, Robert, is that, and hopefully I'm wrong here, but probably very few people that hear that are actually going to do anything with it. I'm not one of them. So I'll have something good figured out like within the next couple of days to the next week as to how to get that done, because especially in this kind of market, you got to do something to stand out above from everybody else. And so it's not uncommon for our acquisitions guy to go meet with a seller and there's 15, 20 direct mail pieces. And to my knowledge, I can't think of one that had the picture in the front of the house. So I like, that's a great idea. Something I just learned from you that I'm going to figure out how to make that happen. So I appreciate you sharing that, man.
Even, you know, once you've made an appointment, that's a cool thing too, is taking a picture yourself of the front of the house or something and then sending it. Right. Or any, there's a guy I knew that was doing that with, driving for dollars and markets virtually. And he had a system set up where his bird dogs took a picture of the vacant house and then they mailed a postcard about the vacant house. So same idea. This is just on a bigger scale, right?
Yeah.
I believe in the abundance mindset. So I don't care. Anybody that can figure out how to go do it, go run with it. It's fine with me. I didn't figure it out. Ken Clothier and Real Estate Worldwide had a put this system in place, and we went and checked it out and said, man, we could do the same thing for a lot less cost. So let's build it ourselves and do it.
Awesome. And man, I know you know this, like you just talked about the abundance mentality, and we'll kind of end on this note, but there's so much opportunity out there. I mean, we we do give away everything we know. And it's like, it's, if anything, it just more comes back to us. And so I really think if more people had that mentality that you have and that I have, it's all good, man. There's just so much out there, you know?
It is. I'm big on that. And that's definitely a Kent Clothier would say, dude, rock it. Go build a system better than ours. I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just, you know, right. He's got way up there on the abundant mentality and not caring. Great book that I'll throw at the end here too, is Go Grab the Magic by Rhonda Byrne. For anyone that's interested, that'll open your mind to, being more abundant and having the mindset of gratitude.
Very cool, man.
All starts there.
Well, hey, Robert, dude, I appreciate it, man. It's been awesome getting to know you and just kind of chatting here. For people that want to connect with you, man, maybe there's some synergies. Where can they reach out?
Yeah, they can reach us, usaportfoliore.com. They could also reach us if they're looking at like CRM, anything like that, and automating, investorpo.com. Or reach me on Facebook at Robert Seifert or at Robert Seifert Mentorship anytime.
Okay, man. Very cool, dude. Well, awesome, man. Anything I can do for you, you let me know. I know we'll be in contact. And guys, again, you know, hopefully you're not kind of rolling your eyes or you're getting annoyed at me saying this, but speed of implementation, the more successful people I talk to, I mean, that's one of the biggest benefits that I personally get, is I get to connect with people like Robert. I always learn something. And it's speed of implementation. If you've learned something that you thought was cool and that you think could work, but you do nothing with it, it's not going to do anything for you. And so whether it's the picture on the postcard or whether it's creating your vision, doing the 7 layers deep exercise, which that's probably the most important thing, I think, everything we've talked about that you can do for yourself, just take action on one of those things, and you're going to start to see that if you're consistent, your life and your business are going to change. So on that note, I look forward to catching you on this Thursday's Q&A show. And if you guys haven't had a chance to leave a review, if you're getting some value from the show, if you're enjoying it, I'd absolutely love that. It helps out the ranking of the show, and it's just a cool way to pay it forward. So really appreciate you. And Robert, thanks again, buddy.
Thanks, Alex. Appreciate it.
Take care.
That's all for this episode of the Flip Empire Show. But we have you covered with even more expertise and resources on our website. Text EMPIRE to 67076 or head over to flipempire.com to join the newsletter and gain free instant access to our video module training course called 5 Ways to Scale Your Real Estate Wholesaling Business to 6 Figures in 6 Months or Less. For more interviews, strategies, and insights for the smart real estate investor, we'll catch you next time here on the Flip Empire Show.